Hi, everyone, and thank you so much for listening to this segment of the Kelly Jo Show on Talk Jive Radio, a Damned in production distributed by the Institute for Native Arts and Media, a 501c3 nonprofit organization based in Norman, Oklahoma. The views and opinions expressed in this segment are those of the individual and do not necessarily reflect those of the INAM organization. Thank you so much for tuning into this segment. With me in the hot seat is Erin Shackelford. She's the executive director of Oklahoma Alliance for Animals. How are you, Erin?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Thanks for taking the time to come on the show and talk to us a little bit about Oklahoma Alliance for Animals. And if you're looking for it, just to let y'all know, it's animalallianceok.org. So that it's got a couple of names that I understand. So we're kind of going to interchange those a little bit. So just to let our listeners and podcast subscribers know that it's actually the same organization. I worked with the animal crisis response team years and years and years ago, and I was researching some different organizations here in Oklahoma that help animals and help pet owners in crisis, and I came across the Oklahoma Alliance for Animals, and I'm fascinated. So tell me a little bit about your organization, please.
Yeah, well, and I hope you don't hear my dogs barking in the background. They like to be interviewed as well. So Oklahoma Alliance for Animals was founded in 2004 by Jamie and Robin Suarez. They had been volunteering at local animal rescues in the Tulsa area and were just seeing the huge influx of animals that were coming into the shelter and rescue systems, but they didn't see a whole lot of work on the other end of it to try and, decrease population, work on spay and neuter. They just saw the huge need, and everybody was just desperately trying to adopt their way out of this growing problem, and they quickly realized that wasn't going to work. And so they really founded an organization that worked to combat the issue on the front end. So my little elevator speech with OAA is that we're not a rescue in the traditional sense. We do always have animals in our care, but our main mission is not intake and adoption. It is to work on spay and neuter, increase access to low-cost spay and neuter resources and other resources, work with pet owners, to provide pet retention type services like pet food or other supplies that help them take care of their pets versus, surrendering that animal. And also work with law enforcement on animal cruelty and neglect cases where we can, just because there are not very many resources, especially in rural Oklahoma, for law enforcement when they are dealing with especially large scale animal cruelty and neglect cases.
I think that's a really important point to make too, especially in rural Oklahoma. I think that a lot of Okies were raised, of course, a lot of people were raised on farms. This is a farming state. And I think that there is a generation gap in how people feel about animals and how they treat animals. And I mean, natives we're the exact same, right? And so I think that it's really important for pet owners, especially during this holiday time, right? I want somebody to help me discourage giving pets as gifts, because when you talk about surrendering animals, do you find the numbers of surrendered animals increase, say, in January, February-ish, after the gift animals have been given?
Yes. I mean, sadly, just across the board this past year, COVID had a very negative effect. It was kind of interesting. At first, it was positive because people are at home and they were taking animals home out of the shelter because they had more time. But then we've really seen a lot of those animals flooding back into the system as people get back into their normal lives. They realize they don't have as much time for a pet. The economic impacts have, made it impossible for some people to care for pets. So we are seeing a huge flood of animals into our shelter system right now across the board, all over Oklahoma. You're seeing Tulsa and Oklahoma City having to euthanize more animals now than they have had to euthanize in years and years. So I think right now is a critical time for the pet overpopulation crisis in our state. And yes, as we go into Christmas, you do see, while owner surrender requests are still very high, we do anticipate those going up like they typically do, because people do give puppies and different things and dogs for Christmas gifts. And then once, you know, kind of the newness and fun wears off of a pup, I love a good puppy. I choose not to get puppies. I get adult dogs that are a little bit easier because puppies are a lot of work. And I just think in general, people maybe don't plan, you know, the long-term responsibility of owning a pet. There is a lot that goes into that for sure. So we do, you know, we do see those spike, you know, after the holidays for sure.
Yeah, they don't stay babies long. And like, no. I've got cats and dogs, and I'm a sucker for kittens. Do you hear me? I wish I could rescue all of the kittens, but they don't stay kittens.
No,
and then pretty soon you've got a house full of giant demanding cats or dogs. Yes,
and we also, you know, people like to get the puppies. And then a lot of the times we see them, it's like, I think the terrible twos of like, they say that about toddlers, but it really is the case when dogs get about 1 to 2 years old, it's where they have still the puppy energy and mentality and the lack of training, but they are now full grown big dogs that are much harder to handle. And so sadly you get returns when they're right at those terrible two age of doghood, where they're just a little bit more to handle. And they're bigger and they're not puppies and they're not, you know, so that we do see that quite a bit.
I think too, like as far as puppies go, especially puppies, like you can't really train a cat to do anything except like me. They train you to do things.
They train you, yeah.
But like puppies, you have to train a puppy like immediately when you get them home. They need to know where they stay. They need to know where they sleep. They got to know when they eat. They got to know when to go. I mean, there is a lot of work, and you're absolutely right. When they start getting, when they're still puppies, but they're giant dogs and they think that they can still just jump on everything like puppies. And then if they already have bad manners, it's, I've survived that. I'm going to go take you to the shelter right now. Or my favorite is the ASPCA commercials, and I just make them watch those over and over again. I can't watch them personally, but I make my animals watch it just so they know how good they got it.
Yeah.
And now my dogs are going off. See, they're protesting the ASPCA commercials as we speak. But let's get back to some of the programs that Oklahoma Alliance for Animals offers. You talked about animal control. Let's talk about fostering. Do y'all promote a lot of fostering programs or
So like, you know, even though we're not a rescue in the traditional sense, we're averaging the last 3 years, we are impacting and taking 500 to 600 animals into our care every year. A lot of those animals are transferred to partner organizations, or we do a lot of out-of-state transports to areas of the United States that don't quite have the pet overpopulation issues that we do. But we do, because we still interact with multiple animals, and especially animals that are high medical needs, tends to be, we typically get our animals from cruelty cases or referrals for badly injured animals from like rural shelters. So we do rely on fosters, especially like medical fosters, that our dogs and cats typically need a little bit more TLC. So we definitely do always have dogs and cats up for adoption. And we also have animals in need of fostering for sure.
It's just, I have said personally, I can't foster animals. They just become part of my menagerie because I get attached and I can't give them up. And so I have to be really, really careful with that. But you know, animals just, they need that love and care too. And so I encourage folks who can foster and who can take that time to help these animals to do so. Let's talk about exotic animals. I'm always curious when we see, and you know, we talk about this spike in holiday surrenders. It's not just cats and dogs. Like I've seen people get exotic animals. Why on earth they want these animals, I don't know, but then they want to either turn them loose, or, you know, how does a surrender of an exotic animal actually work?
Well, we don't deal a lot in exotic animals. We have a couple of rescue partners that we work with for you know, kind of outside of our wheelhouse. We support a lot of efforts. We don't have a lot of experience in taking or handling those animals. I mean, I think we definitely have helped with some like cruelty cases and different things with like horses and cows and pigs. We had a case with 100 cockfighting roosters, which was really interesting, but we have not dealt a lot with like exotics. But we always, we have dealt, Tulsa Police Department called us once on a, I don't even remember. It was some sort of amphibian gecko, something that was in a stolen car. And that was probably the most exotic we got, but yeah, there are those that definitely still is people do surrender those animals, and those animals have a much longer lifespan than kind of a normal dog and cat. I found like birds and different things. And so those exotic animals, I would say, are definitely an even longer lifetime commitment for sure.
Yeah. Well, and I've always been really, because I mean, they're exotic. So, I mean, how domesticated can they be? I think I would have a little bit more faith in like the commercially bred, like a cockatoo or something at Petsense, rather than like some, and hey, don't get me wrong, I'd love to have some big cat as a little kitten and everything, but you know what? It's gonna need a cage eventually, yeah. And probably be upset with me for being in that cage. And so that's,
I mean, if Tiger King has taught us nothing, you know, like we don't
it sure hasn't, because I still want one of those little guys. But okay, so let's talk about a large scale rescue, especially when we're talking about this crazy weather that we have in Oklahoma, because apparently October is our tornado season now. How do pet owners really kind of plan for that, those kinds of disasters around their animals, and where does the alliance come in when helping in those emergency kind of situations?
Yeah, so Oklahoma Alliance for Animals is one of kind of our parts of our mission is really a collaborative agency and bringing different people together to serve, especially in large scale kind of disasters like that. We've helped, I don't specifically remember a tornado instance, but we, when the flooding happened a couple years ago here in Tulsa, we opened kind of a makeshift temporary shelter that people that were having to evacuate their homes to get out of a certain area. We had a shelter that was operated. It was our North Center facility. And so we were holding people's animals while they got to, you know, a better place while they were evacuating their homes. And then whenever they were in a, you know, safe environment, they were able to come pick their pets up. We also operated as, you know, stray animals were being found at like post flooding. We were operating as a temporary animal shelter there. We have taken in some animals, temporarily for hurricane relief efforts along the coast. But we do, you know, the tornado instance, we haven't had a whole lot of those recently, thank goodness, but the flooding was probably our last kind of major emergency assistance that we participated in.
Let's talk about preparing pets and pet owners for cold weather and really understanding, because I mean, where I live, for some reason, there's always a lot of strays around here, but they're well fed. So I don't know if they're just like going around the neighborhood eating or what, but I do know that they're not spayed. They're not neutered. They're not, they haven't had their operations. So how do we as communities in this cold weather, like, start to help these animals out aside from calling law enforcement and animal control?
Yeah, I think the big, you know, winters in Oklahoma can be, they're kind of sporadic, as we know, like one day it can be like 60 and then the next day it can be 20. And so cold weather is definitely an issue. We have, one of our programs is Unchain Oklahoma. So we specifically work with pet owners of dogs that are constantly chained. So we work to help the owner provide like straw insulated housing so that the dog has a way to get out of the elements. We also provide indoor kennels and different things so that they could actually bring the dog inside temporarily. We provide coats and different things to try and help outdoor pets. I think, you know, if you are able as a community to provide some type of structure for stray animals or stray cats, stray dogs, just a doghouse, something that they can get out of the wind. And then also making sure that house is insulated with straw. We always say straw, not hay. Straw can help. We actually had a volunteer this past year, took a temperature gauge and measured the outside temperature versus where this dog had been sitting buried in the straw in its house. It was 20 to 30 degrees warmer in the straw with the dog than it was outside of the house. So that straw, providing lots of straw, and you know, we always say don't put a little bit in there, like stuff it full. You want them to be able to burrow into it. You know, always doing that. I think if you're able to intake an animal or give it temporary shelter, a lot our rescue organizations and shelters tend to stay very full. But if they have someone that's willing to foster the animal until they can find it an adoptive home or a transport, I think that's always something to consider. So if you do have a stray animal, if you're willing to provide the housing, I think, you know, finding a rescue to support you is a lot easier than asking a rescue to intake it. A lot of foster organizations, including us, we provide all supplies that are needed to foster. So pet food, crates, medical care, whatever you need, we want to support our fosters in that way. And then the other thing is too, you know, if you have the ability to, you know, get these dogs spayed or neutered, I think, and cats, I mean, we have people in our community that will take it upon themselves. If they've got a couple semi-friendly cats, they'll get them in a carrier and then we'll help them get it spayed and neutered at the local, like we have a couple low-cost spay and neuter options here. So, you know, working with organizations that can provide that low-cost spay and neuter, if you're able, that's the thing. It's we get a lot of inquiries for help, but there's so many. It's so hard for our organization to help at that level. But when you have someone that's willing to put in some effort too, and by my dogs are playing with toys. If you have someone that's willing to, you know, support you and take that animal to the vet and take that animal spay and neuter, it's so much easier for us to help when we've got the community support on the other end.
Let's talk, let's talk about how people in the Tulsa community can participate in your events. How can your local community right there in Tulsa, how can we best help the Oklahoma Animal Alliance?
I think, you know, we always are in need, you know, we're totally funded by private donations. So, I mean, donations, whether that's of your, you know, financial gifts, gifts of supplies, if you have a crate to donate or a doghouse that you're not using. And then the other thing is people just donating of their time. I mean, we have so many programs and it takes a lot of volunteer energy and effort to keep those running. So, you know, if you're able to donate your time in helping us bag pet food at the office or, you know, help even on our Unchain Oklahoma team, we have special training for volunteers to work with owners of chained animals. And then, you know, even if you can't do any of that, I think a lot of Oklahoma's problems come down to the lack of spay and neuter in our communities. And so if all you can do is just spread the good word about spay and neuter and the importance of that and how, you know, adopting from your shelters and rescues versus purchasing from breeders, I think that's, you know, that's a wonderful thing to do as well.
Now, do we have a lot of issues with like specialty breeders? I know I used to live behind this dude who raised Labradoodles. It drove me absolutely insane. But when we're talking about breeders, how can a person who is looking into getting a pet, how can they make sure that they're not purchasing from a breeder as opposed to somebody who's rescuing and trying to help fostered animals?
So sadly, Oklahoma is, I think, one of the top 10 states for puppy mills. We have a very bad track record of inhumane breeders. There is not a whole lot of oversight when it comes to large mass breeders. Oklahoma Alliance for Animals has been involved in multiple cases of licensed, they are licensed by the Department of Agriculture here in Oklahoma, and they have been cited for animal cruelty and neglect charges because of the condition that the animals are in. So when someone advertises that they are a licensed breeder, that should by no means mean they are on the up and up. You definitely need to do your due diligence. If they will not allow you on the property, if they will not allow you to see mom and dad, if they can't provide veterinary records, if they want to meet you at the local McDonald's to drop off your dog, those are all signs that that might not be an ethical breeder. I think it's important to remember that there are all kinds of dogs and cats in our shelters and rescues. There are breed specific rescues. We actually have a website that we run that has a full state list of rescues, and as well as like breed specific rescues. So if you're looking for a certain type of animal, I think it's important to consider looking at some of these rescues before you go to a breeder. But if you do decide to go to a breeder, just make sure you do the due diligence to ensure that you're buying from someone reputable and who is not, just taking advantage of pets and keeping them in pretty poor conditions, which is something we've seen quite a few times in this organization. I would also caution anyone purchasing animals from pet stores, dogs and cats from pet stores. We recently had a puppy mill kind of purveyor open in the state of Oklahoma, and they sell puppies for extremely high prices. They claim they come from reputable breeders, but it has been well proven that they are typically sourced from your puppy mill mass breeding operations. There has been, multiple instances of those dogs not being healthy and having genetic and hereditary issues. So I think it's just really important to do your research, lots and lots of research, if that's the route that you're going to choose to go.
Yeah. And I think that there's something that, and as a person whose ex-husband raised royally bred English pointers, I know more about English pointers than I ever thought I would ever, but they have like dogs are, their genetics are a lot like humans. Cats, their genetics are a lot like humans. Like you can't inbreed these siblings,
And you have a lot of people that are just, they're not breeders that are on the up and up. They keep these animals in small cages or just these big pens. And they're just, yes, there is definitely no genetic testing that goes into this. There is no, you do have issues with inbreeding. The puppy mill case that we helped with back in July of 2020, we had dogs that had been born without like legs. And you could tell there were genetic issues that, it was really unfortunate. She was a very, very bad, unethical breeder and was charged with multiple counts of animal cruelty. So she's been shut down, which is good, but there are many more like her that exist, unfortunately. And so it's just really important to, watch for those red flags. If they will not let you on the property, if they won't let you see the parents, that's a big sign.
Yeah. And that not being able to see the conditions, to see the breeding and because large scale meals. And we only dealt with a couple of litters, right? And bird dogs have there were a lot of puppies in those litters. And I can't even imagine having multiple litters at the same time, trying to keep them all separated. Puppies look a lot alike when they're little, right? And yeah. So it never ceases to amaze me the awful things that people will do to animals in the name of profit.
Right, because people will pay a lot of money for some of these animals and not really know what they're getting into. We just want to remind everybody, it's like Oklahoma has such a huge pet overpopulation problem. I would really caution anyone against choosing to breed animals and bring more lives into this world with the ones that are constantly being euthanized every day. There are certainly ethical breeders out there. And if you choose to support those, definitely, do your research. That's all we always... first look at your shelters and your rescues. And if you absolutely can't find what you need, then, do your research and find someone that's doing it correctly.
I'm all for rescuing and checking the shelters, and checking the rescues first. Please do that. There are so many different great organizations like Oklahoma Alliance for Animals who have the resources to direct you to these animals that are in need of good homes. If you're a bleeding heart hippie liberal like me, you just want to take them all home and give them all the best life that you can. And so, for those folks who are seriously considering a commitment to a pet, to an animal, to bringing a new family member into your home, because that's what you're doing, make sure that you follow her advice, Erin's advice, and do your research, do your due diligence, check the shelters first, check the rescues first, because I'm glad that we have breed specific shelters. That's amazing.
Interesting. There's a bulldog rescue. We have German Shepherd rescues. We have lab rescues. So that website that has all that list is called puppymillsarenotokay.org. And it has some tips about, if you choose to look for a breeder, like these are the questions and things you should ask. But it also has an entire page called Opt to Adopt. And it has a list and links to all of those breed specific rescues, and just rescues across the state.
And that is so amazing. Erin Shackelford, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us here about the Oklahoma Alliance for Animals. And don't forget, folks, if you want more information, you can go to their website at animalallianceok.org, and they've got all kinds of information there where you can donate. They've got an events page. They've got a whole list of their resources and their different programs and their partners that they work with to help our animals in need here in Oklahoma. And there's also another website called puppymillsarenotokay.org, and they've got a whole other list of resources there on that site too. So hey, having a pet, it's serious business. I can't stress that enough. And if we can just do what our part here to encourage folks to spay and neuter your pets, and to make sure that you always look at the shelters first, and support your local shelters, and help those animals there. I think that we'd make a real dent in our overpopulation with our pets here in Oklahoma. So Erin, thank you again for coming on and talking to us. And hopefully we'll talk to you again soon where we can go and participate in some of your events around the state.
Yeah, definitely. You're always welcome to join us.
Thank you so much. And yes, if you want more information, make sure that you go on their website, animalallianceok.org. You've been listening to The Kelly Jo Show on Talk Jive Radio, a Dan Minden production distributed by the Institute for Native Arts and Media. The views and opinions expressed in this segment are those of the individual and do not necessarily reflect those of the INAM organization. For more information or to donate, you can email nativeartsandmediainstitute@gmail.com. You can catch past episodes of all segments wherever you get your podcast. Thank you so much for your support.